Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, friends, welcome back. Big topic today. The news is breaking. We're back to our favorite topic. I got Sir Matt here, Super Gains Bros, the madman himself. It's time to talk about our favorite Star Wars movie. The Last Jedi. Do you remember when we did like a in defense of The Last Jedi?
Well, you and Mike did a in defense of, and then you and I did a who's to blame?
Who's to blame? Yeah. All of a sudden it was switching pretty fast. You know, because I go, okay, so the big news, quick topic today, just so you guys know where we're headed, the table of contents here, if you will. We're talking about Rian Johnson's most recent interview where he basically he gives his thoughts on the Star Wars prequels, and he talks about some of his conversations with J.J. Abrams. He talks about his decision to kill Snoke and so on. So we're going to be breaking that down. But I just want to say, originally when we watched The Last Jedi and we come out of that, like, my problem with it is the ideas are bad. The writing, like, if you thought the ideas were good and you really liked the ideas, then the writing makes sense. Like, the way he kind of writes it, like, he's a good script writer. I mean, he has good dialogue. There's breadcrumbs here in the beginning with, I always go back to, like, I thought it was such a cool line where Luke Skywalker sort of like, what do you think I'm going to do? He's like, you know, take out my laser sword and face down the entire, you know, empire, yeah, myself or whatever. And then he literally does that. And you're like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So there's moments that I'm like, if the ideas weren't bad, like, if you just imagine that, like, it's a good idea to kill Snoke and it's a good idea to have Luke ignite his lightsaber over his nephew, over some, you know, quick dark vision that he has. If you think those are good ideas and they're good things for Star Wars, then the movie works. It's just the next adaptation, and we're moving along. And if you don't look at the bigger overarching picture and understand sort of how the directors were communicating or were not communicating, or basically the priorities of the studio, then it's fine. But that's the thing. There's too many cooks in the kitchen. There was too much stuff going on. Ironically, they tried to actually just have one cook in the kitchen, which was Rian Johnson. And they went, oh my God, we were making this one dish. And then Rian went and made a completely different dish. So anyways, this has always been frustrating for me talking about The Last Jedi, but it has to be said. It's the biggest fumble ever and one of my favorite fandoms, and it's ridiculous. So have you read this you've seen, yeah, the clips and stuff? Okay.
Yeah, like, essentially him talking about, like, well, you know, basically he's like, I made the movie the way, like, it was my movie. I get to make the movie the way I wanted to make it, and the way right. that I thought. And then I also, you know, there's a clip of him saying something about how he particularly didn't care for the prequels.
Yeah.
Right. And oh, right. He, right. you know, I mean, yeah, there's just more stuff. And then he also talked about how really nothing ever happened with his trilogy that he was supposed to get.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, let's actually start with,
which, you know, by the way, real quick.
Yeah.
Who announced that trilogy?
Kathy.
Yeah.
Kennedy.
So you just announced stuff that's like not that never even happens. Like, why are you announcing it?
I know.
Just saying. I know. Just adding to the the things.
Yeah, it's okay. It goes back to what I said the last time you were talking about Star Wars, which is like her focus or their focus is all over the place. And Qui-Gon taught us that your focus determines your reality, and their focus is literally everywhere. So the reality of Star Wars has been that it is scattered and it is just a mess. So that's the problem. They don't have a clear, cohesive vision. They're starting to kind of learn. It's like this slow learning process where they're slowly gathering steam, but they've started so many different little projects that are like, okay, pre-episode one or after episode three or between episode six and episode seven and eight after episode nine. Like, are you kidding me? So like, no wonder you're not able to tell these really good tales, or that we're struggling a little bit with the fandom, and or knocks it out of the freaking park. So sometimes, you know, you're striking gold, but it's all over the place. And that's exactly how the sequels started off as well. Even though their focus was just on creating the sequels, but major fumble in terms of organizing that and getting the directors on the same page. And it one director freaking quit. Episode nine director is like, I'm out, dude. You basically let this guy kill off everything that we were like planning
towards. Colin Trevorrow, man. I mean,
you know, that's the thing. Ryan Johnson doesn't mention him at all. He talks about J.J. Abrams and how he spoke to him about The Force Awakens, and he didn't think he was undoing what J.J. was doing. You know, I actually don't have a huge problem with, I could forgive, like, it's going to sound terrible. Some of the Luke Skywalker stuff, it's like, okay, fine. You know, you want to have him drawing his lightsaber on freaking Kylo Ren, whatever. You killed Snoke. Okay, fine. So Kylo Ren's the big bad. Go ahead and do that. The problem is that they completely knee-jerk back to something else. And so it doesn't, Ryan in this interview talks more about like how he and JJ collaborated from The Force Awakens to The Last Jedi. But really, there's no collaboration between him and Colin Trevorrow.
Right.
Where's that collaboration, Ryan? You never mentioned any of that.
Right.
Why is there no collaboration? Because you just did your own thing.
Years you and I have said, we're like, where you finish with The Last Jedi isn't necessarily the problem. It's where where you go then into Rise of Skywalker, right? Yep. Like then you put JJ back into a bind where in Disney, where they had to do all these knee-jerk reactions. Like the Rise of Skywalker is actually a worse movie than The Last Jedi.
Yes.
Stand alone. But we sort of, you and I have always sort of given it the benefit of the doubt because we're like, we know the position it was put into by Ryan Johnson.
Yeah.
But if they had just hired him or hired people that were willing to play ball and the three of them sit down and they say, all right, like, here's what I'm gonna do in my movie. Here's what I'm gonna do in my movie. Here's what I'm gonna do in my movie. Does it work start to finish?
Yeah.
Then yeah. The problem is it really doesn't work start to finish because that's how you get to somehow Palpatine returned.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that jacks, you know, the whole deal up. Right. I mean, that's the big difference, right? Like you and I just recorded about Marvel. What did we talk about? And we're talking about DC and Marvel. And we're like, well, Marvel had a plan, right? Exactly. Marvel had a plan. Thanos shows up at the end of Avengers. Mm-hmm. And then we see Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm. And we see, you know, them beginning to map the whole deal out. And that's what gets us to Endgame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Big deal. By the time it happens, you've seen every little detail along the way. You've got six By the time you get to Rise of Skywalker, you have five movies. Well, plus Rogue One. So you have six movies.
Right.
Plus tons of lore. Plus even canon. All this stuff that is set up that could lead you to a good ending. Mm-hmm. And they didn't pull it off.
Well, here,
it's like Game of Thrones. Season 8 deserves the criticism because they didn't pull it off. It doesn't matter what you did before. Yeah. The ending was not good because you didn't pull it off. It's the Star Wars 8 and 9 are no different than the Game of Thrones season 8 and 7, really.
Exactly. And I love how you always take things to to Marvel, which is just next door from Lucasfilm, right? So it's under the Disney umbrella. And when you compare it to Marvel, are there Marvel directors coming out in that first sort of phase saying, yeah, like having to justify how they collaborated with this person? No.
They made it work.
Like
Edward Norton was the Hulk and he stepped out and they're like, we get Mark Ruffalo and it's fine.
And it's fine. Exactly. And they still continue with the plot, the story. It all kind of made sense. And whether you like some of the artistic or creativity bits and pieces that the various directors tried to pull off, humor, whatever, it all still works. And you could tell that there was this cohesion and there was this plan, this unity working and moving forward. You can clearly see when you have to do an interview where you're justifying, hey, I did actually collaborate with JJ a lot more than you guys think. Well, what about Colin Trevorrow? You didn't collaborate with him. So you're telling one side of this story where you're basically saying like, yeah, I was collaborating you were collaborating and you actually forced JJ to put a Luke Skywalker standing on some cliffside and Rey presenting the lightsaber. That was their collaboration. He says, JJ, can you put this in your movie? I need it for my movie, right? Colin says, hey, can you not kill Snoke because I need Snoke for my movie? And Ryan says, sorry, I'm actually before you, so I get to do what I want. It's not a quote, but come on, man. You don't have directors in Marvel doing the same thing that he just did here, which is justifying like their decisions and why it either didn't work or did work or whatever. No, that you don't see that happening.
Right. And then like it's still ultimately at the end of the day, I still put the blame on like Kathleen Kennedy and Disney's hands, because you guys should have seen what, if you get rid of Colin Trevorrow because you didn't like the way he was working or he's being upset about this stuff. Well, then like, why not hire somebody that's willing to work with Rian Johnson? Right. Because JJ came in and said, well, we have to do something. So we bring Palpatine back.
Right.
Right. But it is the decisions that were made in The Last Jedi that get us,
that forces his hand to do that.
Get us to there. And even what he said about Snoke recently and talking about like, well, you know, like we needed to kill Snoke and all this stuff. It's like, but the killing Snoke there made him feel like a nobody. And people will say, yeah, but the Emperor, like the people compare and say the Emperor wasn't in like the first movie, but the Emperor's weight is felt the entire trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
The Admirals say the Emperor won't approve of this, right? You know from the get-go that he's there. And then we see him pretty much quite a bit in Return of the Jedi, and we get the tease of him. It's dealt out way more.
Yeah.
It's dealt out way better. And then you also have the weight of Luke finding out that it's his dad and all Vader is his dad and all of this stuff when you're going through, and then you can see, oh, well, his dad was actually good at some point, and now we want to get like the good brought back into him. That you don't have that with Kylo Ren done enough. And then you also have this big, like the whole deal is Rey's parents. It's sitting there. And then Rian Johnson also is like, well, that doesn't matter. And then you have to knee jerk back and say, like, well, actually it does matter.
Yeah.
And so it loses weight. Like that's another thing with that movie is you knee jerk. Look at how much actually the Rise of Skywalker knee jerks back into the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Which basically then leaves The Last Jedi sitting there as this thing that makes it feel like it's like, well, then why did you do any of this stuff?
Right. Which is, that's a really good point.
Luke jokes about how, you know, you shouldn't toss a lightsaber.
Right.
She does.
Sacred weapon, right?
This is a sacred weapon. So they literally make fun of it. Rey's parents suddenly do matter. It's a Palpatine. Snoke actually does have importance because he was a Palpatine like entity.
There is a Snoke theory, by the way.
You gotta fix that. You know, so I mean,
yeah, I think you're right. So like the idea, you know, Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker, you know, they look so different from The Last Jedi, and you know, Kathleen Kennedy says to Rian Johnson, this is in the interview, we need somebody to come in and do that Empire Strikes Back, somebody to run the Empire Strikes Back, you know, sort of situation here or whatever. But okay, fine. If you want, like, he struck back, if you will. He basically said, Luke's going to pull his lightsaber, Kylo destroys the thing, we're going to kill Snoke, and Kylo Ren is the big bad.
You know what that movie also doesn't do? Have the Empire actually strike back. They already did in The Force Awakens. They literally blew up an entire system.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's you're right. It's strange. It's not like
the part of The Empire Strikes Back is when you leave it, you feel like doom and gloom. Well, Kylo Ren kills Snoke. We just took out the big bad guy. Like,
Right. I know. There's actually, throughout Rian Johnson's movie. I know. There's that element. You're supposed to pull off the Empire Strikes Back, but yet all it is this spark that ignites the thing flame. That's going to. So it's all this hope building towards the end there versus that's not what happened in Empire Strikes Back.
At the end of Empire Strikes Back, dude, like you're like, oh, shit, dude, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like Han Solo's caught in carbonite. Yoda, you know, well, Yoda doesn't die. He doesn't die totally, whatever. But
he's on the way out, though. Yeah.
Yoda's on his way out. You find out this huge deal that Darth Vader's Luke actually lost his father. Luke loses his hand. God, like, dude. Yeah, they're in a pickle. Lando kind of betrays, you know,
Exactly. And then Luke's Boba finding Fett out.
And everything. I mean,
Luke finds out that Darth Vader is his freaking father. Like, those are the big reveals. So the big reveal in this that like Luke, I'm your father, line you have where Rian Johnson basically says that like it's Kylo Ren telling her that her parents are no one. So at the end of the day, if you let Rian Johnson do his thing here, and we said Rey is no one, and then we also said that Snoke is dead, Kylo Ren, he admits in this that he doesn't go as far as saying like Kylo Ren should be the big bad. But let's see, he says the interrogation scene in the first movie between Rey and Kylo was so incredibly powerful. Seeing this complicated villain that has been created, I was just so compelled by that. This is all a matter of perspective and phrasing, but to me, I didn't easily dispense with Snoke. I took great pains to use him in the most dramatically impactful way I could, which was to then take Kylo's character to the next level and set him up as well as I possibly could. I guess it all comes down to your point of view, I thought. He says, this is such a compelling and complicated villain. This is who it makes sense going forward to build around. Well, that is not what Kathleen Kennedy and Disney wanted to do. They did not want to make Kylo Ren the ultimate big bad villain. They instead made Emperor Palpatine the big, you know what I'm saying? They did not elevate Kylo Ren's character to a super villain like Rian set it up for. So that's the thing. I mean, there's these setups in Force Awakens that are subverted in the Last Jedi, and then you go.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book. It's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Rise of Skywalker, where what Rian Johnson set up is subverted again. It's so crazy. It just sucks. It actually sucks to kind of say that because I wanted it to be so much better and everything. But it's very clear that Rian Johnson was setting Kylo Ren up to be this big bad villain. And then there is no big bad in the end. They had to bring back freaking Palpatine, which is they had to, Matt. Like that's the thing. They all think they had to. you don't have a, you just killed Snoke out of nowhere. And he knows that. That's the thing. Rian Johnson knows that he did not play ball with Colin Trevorrow. He knows it is obvious. Anybody who says like, oh yeah, this was really mapped out and they were all, this was all planned. No, wow. If you say it was planned, JJ Abrams has actually said, we learned a lot. We learned that there needs to be some more collaboration and some more talking. There's an interview out there. I don't have it in front of me right now, but where he literally says, yeah, we had some problems there. We kind of fumbled the ball, as our terminology, fumbled the ball in terms of not talking with each other. You don't fire or Colin Trevorrow doesn't walk. He has a whole freaking script. He has a whole script ready to go. It's out there. He had these plans. And then he's even trying to make it work with the idea of Snoke being gone. But it's just like, it still doesn't work. It still doesn't work. Because again, he killed Luke. He killed Snoke.
Here's my thing. Luke. If it did work, right?
Yeah.
Because again, I'm fine if you like these movies, but the people who like hardcore defend them and are just like, no, it was amazing and all this stuff. It's like, if the sequels were as successful as the people who are like championing them say they are, how's come there's not more content around it?
Exactly. That's
why aren't there sequel video games? Why aren't there sequel comics? Why aren't there sequel books? Why aren't there sequel movies being made? Why aren't there sequel TV series? Why is all of it, everything well before that? Because they know it won't make them money.
No, 100%.
That simple. If they thought it was more successful and they thought it would make more money, we wouldn't be getting shows like Andor. We wouldn't be getting Mandalorian would be set in the sequel era.
Yep.
All the comics wouldn't be High Republic. They'd be sequel era stuff. It's because they know it wasn't as good. Disney themselves knows it was a flop. It was not good. Otherwise, they would be milking it left and right.
It's 100% right. Because look at what they're doing between episode 3 and episode 4. They're milking it for everything it's worth, which honestly
is actually is the most profitable era to go, because you can have it's ties to originals and the prequels.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it ties to George Lucas and the core, like the foundation of Star Wars. Their Star Wars, Disney Star Wars, the sequels, they're not doing anything, as you said, to build around it, because it wouldn't work. There's no success.
If they thought they could make a Phasma show and make it as successful as Andor, they'd make it.
Right.
If they thought they could make a
right.
I mean, they tried actually. They tried Squadrons and it's or not Squadrons, but what is that show? It was the other cartoon.
The one of
Resistance.
Resistance. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to that?
Nothing. Right, I know.
Because no one cared.
I know. And they have all the data and the meta on that. Like they're able to look at it and say, okay, yeah, nobody watched it. No, like the reviews are bad. It doesn't look good. It's not. So they're not doing it. And the sucky thing is like what we said last week or a couple weeks ago, Mark Hamill, one and the same, basically comes out and says, I had this dark backstory that would kind of work. And we're like, it would change the sequels. There's ways to make it cool and to lead into it and to do better. Well,
all that other stuff too. Why isn't like even the stuff now, it's like they could totally narratively make the First Order stuff happen like almost immediately after the Battle of Jakku. Like in Mando, it's like in Mando, what are they actually tying all that stuff to? Palpatine. So that's where the money is.
Yeah.
It's Palpatine. So it's like cloning and all this stuff in order to bring Palpatine back. But there's no talk of remnants of the First Order of, hey, it's time for us to revitalize into the First Order, into, you know, right, Palpatine's true vision. It's all about, ooh, the cloning and the force and the mysticism side of it, with like, you know, the Grogu and Mount Tantalus and Bad Batch and all that stuff.
Right. So yeah, when you look at the sequels characters that were Disney created, like, you know, Rey, Poe Dameron,
Phasma,
Finn, Hux, all of that, like you're right, they're not making anything, no extra sort of like book series, comics, tie-in TV shows to those characters, because they weren't successful. Everything that they're tying to is a George Lucas created character, Emperor Palpatine. Right. I mean, that's they're still milking that for everything it's worth. They've yet to come up with their supreme leader. Snoke was their creation. And when that hit in Force Awakens, I was like, OK, dude, who's supreme leader Snoke? Pretty cool. He's got a lot of powers. It seems interesting. He's huge in this projector holographic image or whatever. And I'm like, OK, I'm interested. I'm locked in. Then they kill him and he's nothing. And Rian Johnson, you know, holds up a your Snoke theories suck kind of thing, and you're like, that's your property, that's your new character, Lucasfilm, and you've got it just thrown in the trash. Like, it could have been so cool. It's the same thing with like Rey Skywalker, Rey Palpatine, whatever. Rey, I like it just as Rey. I like her as just as Rey. I like her as no one. To Rian Johnson, I actually love the idea that Rey is no one. When that happened, I was like, sick. Okay, just a new hero. Like, cool. That's fine with me. And go with that. And so it's just like, why are you taking these characters and treating them so poorly? You know, it just sucks. The best thing that they did was Andor. And when they made Rogue One, and again, that's all tied around. It has a good framework. It's a good, there's tons of other characters that you can kind of bring in and prop up next to Andor and Rogue One and that whole time period that make it feel super connected to George Lucas's Star Wars, right? You've got Tarkin, Krennic, Darth Vader's in there. I mean, there's tons of Mon Mothma. You have characters that tie you back into the prequels and to the originals. And so Andor has success. They've yet to, Matt, Lucasfilm has yet to step away from what George Lucas created, his characters, and really find a lot of success. Except for, I take it back. I was going to say Bad Batch and Rebels, but again, they are framed inside of episodes between episodes 3 and 4. And they do have those legacy characters showing up, Ahsoka and Mon Mothma. And they, you know, Darth Vader is showing up. Darth Maul is showing up. And then you've got in the Bad Batch, you've got a bunch of clones showing up and Emperor Palpatine has to show up. So they've yet to completely step away from that and make something, you know, all on their own. They went and did the Acolyte, and thank God they didn't slaughter Yoda's character. You know what I mean? And include him in that more than anything, because they went and did their step away. Let's do something totally different outside of what we've done. And they still tried to bring in Ki-Adi Mundi and Yoda, and they still botched it. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm we're rooting for them. I want them to do well. I was hoping the Rey series would be something super cool. You have no legacy characters in that. It's just Rey. Can Rey stand on her own at the box office?
I don't even know if that's ever gonna happen.
Right. I know. It very well might not. So anyway. I
mean, seriously. The only thing we know we're getting is this Starfighter thing.
Right. And supposedly that is set after episode 9. So is this the start to some new hero that they're gonna start to build out a new phase or whatever? If you just double down and shift all of your focus and you make some really cool, again, get Dave Filoni in there with these grandiose good ideas and the mystic side of the Force and get him up there with Rey and let him work on that character and try to do something and move them in a good direction. Right now he's got to finish the Ahsoka 2, series
and he's got.
Yeah, he's working on Maul. He's working on.
I don't know. He has time to work on sequel stuff.
Right. No.
Which is probably why he hasn't touched any of it.
And you're right. They're not going to touch it for years because, like I said, your focus determines your reality. If you're going to spend, if you're going to take your resources, right, your finite set of resources at Lucasfilm, and say, let's spread them all over the place, like prequels. In between the gaps 3 and 4 and 6 and 7, and then post sequels, you're spreading your resources too thin. You've got everything spread out too far. Unless they've just, I don't know, they've got tons of money. Maybe they can do that, but not successfully, right? Yeah, and it's not. I would love to just see build this Mandoverse out as thick as you can, make it super connective. Forget everything else. Focus on it. Finish the story there. Go nuts. Really, really kind of flesh it all out. And then when you're done, switch gears. Finish the rest of, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi's coming out, you know, season 2.
Yeah.
Are you going to send more money to that? Or are you going to, again, cut the budget in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and just lean on Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen carrying everybody to them?
Disney's taking some hits right now. So maybe that's a factor into it.
Right. And so there you go. It's like, if you don't have a lot of, if you're taking hits, why are you spreading? Why are you announcing?
Elio, their new Pixar movie is a colossal disaster. It's the lowest Pixar movie ever. I mean, it's like, I think it's like barely going to break even. Like, I think it's going to be a loss. Right. And then actually another thing, statistic I just saw said that the United States foreign tourism, for obvious reasons, is down big time. Like they said, Vegas is like taking massive, massive hits. Well, a lot of foreigners come to Disney World and Disneyland,
right?
And a lot of foreigners don't particularly like the United States right now. So,
right.
They said tourism's down like $14 billion. International tourism to the United States is down like $14 billion this year. And Disneyland and Disney World are a big part of that.
Big part. Yeah. Dang, dude.
Yeah.
That's why.
Obvious reasons. Well, that's all. I'll just.
Leave yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. That sucks. So again, you've got it. What are you going to do, Disney? I mean, what are you going to do, Lucasfilm? Are you going to, they tell us what they're going to do, Matt, but they don't follow through on it. It's just so dumb.
Meanwhile, Marvel just knows what they're doing and
just cranks it out. They don't even tell you what they're doing. They're just like, here's the next thing. It's almost done, by the way. They don't even tell you until it's like
Fantastic Four next week. Doomsday's coming. I mean,
yeah, they just keep rolling. So, all
right. Ironheart wasn't particularly good, I guess. I didn't watch it, but they're just like, oh, whatever. It's part of the process. We'll just keep it going.
Yeah, they need better leadership. They need somebody who actually wants to really, instead of just hopping around from pot to pot and trying to find money, they really need somebody who actually cares and wants to tell a cool.
They're in the same state DC was in the 2010s. They're right there with them.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
You need to find your Kevin, you know,
Kevin Feige.
Kevin Feige,
hire you a James Gunn for crying out loud and get take off and say, here's our 10-year plan and follow through.
God, a James Gunn Star Wars movie could be. Great.
That would be sick. He's too busy. I mean, hopefully David Corn Sweat actually shows up. He wants to be in Star Wars.
He loves Star Wars. Yeah.
I mean, bring him on. I would love to have him in it. He would be a sick Jedi. He'd be like that's the guy they should have cast for freaking Starfighter, to be honest with you. But whatever.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, So there you go, friends. Just a quick little rundown. Rian Johnson, he was trying to set up Kylo Ren to be the big bad, and Lucasfilm executives said, actually, no, he needs to be redeemed because he's technically a Solo, and we need a big bad, so let's bring back Palpatine. You guys know the story. It's crazy. The fact that he comes out and has those interviews, you just don't see it in Marvel Studios. You don't see it in other places, and it's... And maybe you do. Maybe I'm wrong. You guys can let me know. Leave me some comments. Let me know if we're completely off point here. I always love that. Always encourage your feedback. But yeah, it's I think people understand the controversy behind it. And part of me loves the visuals in it. I think it's cool. I love the character Rey. I just wish she was actually a Skywalker or actually a Kenobi or double down on her being a Palpatine or whatever. People think I don't like Rey. I love Rey. I actually love Daisy Ridley as a character or an actor, but they squandered it. They John Boyega, they messed up his character too. Finn, the whole thing. It's a fumble. They should have been doing movies for years, bro. They should still be the face of Star Wars doing movies.
We should have already seen like,
yeah, episode 10. Go ahead. You should have done that. The New Jedi Order. You should set up a New Jedi Order series.
Rogue One and Andor and all that stuff should have been like stuff around 7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
that's what we should have gotten.
Yep. We'll see. Hopefully, I don't know. They've been talking about Kathleen Kennedy stepping down in a new direction. Sometimes you do. I mean, it's okay. I'm not saying Kathleen Kennedy deserves all the respect in the world for Andor and the things that were pulled off there.
Right. And Mandalorian stuff.
And stuff like that. It's just at the end of the day, when James Gunn comes out here, and if Superman would have flopped, it's on him. It's on your new guy that you directed, right? So it's not flopping. It's doing really well. And moving forward, as projects fail or succeed, that'll go back to his leadership. We'll hold him accountable. Did you hire the right director? You know, were your directors communicating? Did you have your writer's room or your story group sort of cohesively working towards an end goal and an end game? Like Kevin Feige did, right? That's what we want.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, friends. Hey, that is all. We'll be back. Matt and I will be talking. If those of you guys that don't know, we're talking Superman, DC, Batman, all of it. We're talking Star Wars every other week, and we'll see what else kind of comes up along our radar. But this has been fun getting back after. If you guys have thoughts, thank you, by the way, to I think it was it somebody just sent us an email recently.
Jack,
my man. Dude, thanks so much. Yeah, he loved our Superman review and was happy that we're back covering some DCU. So appreciate that. You guys can send us emails. Again, our link trees are down in the description, and be sure to follow us everywhere on the socials. And like I said before, hop into those shorts, man. Get into the discussions, because I'm going to start jumping in the comments. And I swear to God, if somebody stitches something from this episode, I'm going to stitch them back. All right? It's time to stitch back, like Empire Strikes Back. All right. So, all right. That's all for today. Appreciate you guys. And as always, may the force be with you.
Dude. People are just sharing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.